This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hi, I'm attorney Michael Bagram, labor lawyer, and we've got some interesting things to discuss. What's been happening in the labor law field, in the employment data, it's very interesting. First of all, we must look at the actual employment data. The latest we've seen, unfortunately, has been bad news. Statistics South Africa tell us that there's 74,000 more jobs lost in the first quarter. And they're looking at it in the future, then they say it's going to get worse. Obviously, some of the jobs were seasonal and those have gone away. I think we're actually in for a bit of a rough ride with employment in South Africa. I know, and we've always said this, that the government of national unity is going to, at the end of the day, is going to fast track in economic growth and job creation. But I know that the government of national unity, some of the political parties will keep fighting, both in parliament and in the cabinet, for job creation to be at its height. And we need this. We need it desperately in South Africa. We have to remain resolute. After defeating the VAT increases, after removing structural barriers, promote infrastructure investment and labor market reforms, we need to cut red tape. We need to conduct a regulatory review of the state. And we need to ensure that measures are there to enhance property rights and policy certainty. So we need, and I think everyone has agreed in South Africa, that we need specifically to target job creation, that we have to do. So the battle does continue. We all remain committed. We need to grow the economy and we need to deliver jobs. So to start off with that, I must tell you that at least South Africa is at least now recognizing that jobs is the be-all and end-all. But on top of that, on the other topic which feeds into that is the U.S. tariffs, which have now been introduced as from the 1st of August, 2025. And the announcement by the U.S. President Donald Trump of a 30% tariff on South African goods and produce exported into the United States from the 1st of August is very, very concerning. It's going to have wide-ranging and devastating consequences for South Africa, and is also going to attack jobs growth. We must understand that there was a system between South Africa and the U.S. It was the African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA. Now, AGOA was very beneficial for South Africa. We had duty-free access to the United States for more than 6,000 of our products. And this was including goods in the automobile industry, agriculture, and textile. Three very big industries, and especially agriculture. I mean, you can imagine that we got duty-free on fruit and vegetables that we exported to the United States, an enormous industry that employs hundreds of thousands of people, and I think that's going to be affected. So we're waiting to see how the effect actually pans out. Unfortunately, our government has failed us quite badly, I think really badly, and we've got no representative in America. So we're relying on individual ministers from our government to travel out there and try and do, get delegated authority and try and do a deal with the United States. I know that John Stiernason from agriculture has done a deal with a couple of industries, in particular citrus, which is good news. But we've got the highest unemployment rates in the world, and then we upset our biggest trading partner, which is the United States of America. And they also receive manufactured goods from us. All those workers are now at risk. We think billions of rands will be lost in the export revenue, and that will be a crippling blow to our economy. It's a real problem, and it's something that we need to watch very carefully. It's something that we need to understand, and we must tackle it. We can't just sit back and say, well, America's now raised the tariff of 30%. And there's nothing we can do, so we must just lose all the jobs. That's not the right attitude. We need to reform, and we need to look at various things. I just want to outline, just from my point of view as a labor lawyer, what we should be doing. One is we need to remove barriers that impede private sector participation in production and transmission of electricity. So that's a big one, because a lot of the firms are saying that if they have to put in their own inverters, their own generators, and they have static electricity that comes on and off all the time, they can't do that. So we need to remove all those barriers, and we need to bring in the private sector so that every single manufacturer in South Africa will have the ability to have continuous electrical supply. Our ports are also a problem. We need to improve efficiency and turnaround times of getting products in and out of South Africa, because that keeps the jobs going. And we need to do that as a matter of urgency. I know that Minister Barbara Creasy is a good minister, and she's looking at this and slowly but surely has woken up to the idea that we need the private sector to involve themselves in the ports to improve efficiency and turnaround times. Very important. Cape Town port is probably the worst in the world, and she's looking at it now. We must boost private participation in freight rail with appropriate infrastructure. We need to invest and improve security to safeguard this vital infrastructure in South Africa. Things are getting stolen. The railways have had even their tracks stolen. The railways have had a real problem. Their rolling stock has been abused, been broken down and sold for parts. It's just unbelievable, and we can't afford that anymore. The Expropriation Act, in other words, that you can take property away, and it's not just property in terms of real estate, it's property of any nature, and it's still there. The amendment to the Appropriation Act is still there, and unfortunately, we need to somehow amend it again so that we can ensure that people focus on poverty and not race. We ensure that people focus on private property and not government property. We need to do this. Of course, also, which is vital, we must remove the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act. They're focusing on race. We need to focus on the poor, on who's poor. And if it means that many black people are poor, we need to focus on that, and we need to ensure that they get jobs. We need it desperately. They're telling us that people in the township, some of the townships are almost 70% unemployment. That's just unbelievable. It's too ghastly to contemplate, and we can't afford that anymore. We must make sure that every family has their adults gainfully employed. I mean, at the moment, most families have got one person looking after everyone else, and they're going to remain poor forever like that. Everyone has to get a job. We can't anymore look at this. And then, of course, we must look at local governments. Local governments, like the municipalities, the cities, they need to make sure that we stop the stealing, we stop cadre deployment, and that we actually go forward and they financially manage themselves properly. The Attorney General, which is the government attorneys, are not doing a job. They're not prosecuting people for stealing. They got a real problem there, but we must make sure the Auditor General steps in up front and does a proper audit so that people don't fail, the municipalities don't fail their audit. Because every time they fail their audit, it means there's been corruption and theft and financial mismanagement. Again, we need to make sure this doesn't happen. And we're hoping that the president does jump in and deals with the corruption. He keeps promising us that he's going to deal with corruption. We keep having inquiries, and they take years and they cost a fortune, and then nothing happens. So we need to align ourselves with policies, and we need to align ourselves with our trading partners like the United States. We must ensure that our own interests are looked after. I want to go on to another little topic. It's also very important, but many people sign a restraint of trade agreement when they find a new job. You go in, you're very excited to find the job. You're very excited that you've got a salary that you're going to get higher than your last salary. And in there, in that restraint of trade is there. Have a look in your employment contract first. Don't just sign employment contracts. Have a look at them first. See what the restraints are. See what the negatives are in the employment room. Read every single sentence. I keep telling clients of mine as a labor lawyer that if you don't read the thing carefully and you sign it, it's your fault. You adults, it's your fault. Don't sign something that you not happy with afterwards. But there's a little bit of good news on this, in that the Labour Court recently, in the end of February this year, said, and that's probably be challenged again, but at the moment they said that a restraint of trade could not be enforced by a former employer where the employee was dismissed for misconduct. In other words, up until now, when an employee gets dismissed for theft or misconduct or whatever it is, they've got a restraint of trade saying they can't work for any other company or employer in that industry. Many people only know their own industry and they can't work for them. They've been fired, getting no more salary, and then you can't work for a period, often up to 2 years, these restraint of trade. Please read the contract. Make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure that you have a way forward, that you can always find another job. It's absolutely vital. It doesn't help at all to sign something and afterwards and start moaning about it and say, I'm not bound by it and they fired me, etc. And then finally, I just want to say that I'd sent in a written question to the Minister of Employment and Labour asking where the money for the UIF is invested, because every single employee pays money into the UIF. That money is then invested with the PIC, who in turn invest it with companies and in other entities that the Department of Labour says they must invest in. Now, in investigating all this, I found that millions, in fact, close on 2 billion rand, was invested in companies that actually squandered the money and lost it and went bankrupt. It was basically stolen. Now, that's the employees' money of South Africa. That money seems to be a real problem. So thank you for listening to me. It's Michael Bagram from Bagram's Attorneys, labor lawyer. Thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.